All right, Sunday morning, 12/17/23. This is another Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title of this is The Mystery of Christ. We're going to kind of do, you could say, my Christmas message, but we're having guest Christmas, and we're going to go a little simpler because of the guest. And so we'll do ours this morning. Y'all ready? Got your seat belts on? All right. We're going to explore today God's best kept secret. It is a secret to those in the natural world, but it is revealed for those who are inside minded, God inside minded. It's what we were talking about in the word prior. The natural men of Jesus' day stumbled all over it, and the men before that thought the prophets had lost their minds. Those that try to understand with this natural mind, it will remain a mystery. All right, a couple of scriptures here. The first one is Isaiah chapter 7. Starting with verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. It is a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. Right with that, go to Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18. Say what? A virgin's going to have conceive? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken to the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. All right. Men are always looking for an outward sign, but God does things secretly. Think about the fact that the king of the world was born in a stable. There was no room for them in the inn. Why would you suppose that would be? It was for their protection. I'm sure Herod's soldiers would have looked to the inns first. No way would they be looking in the barns, not the birth of a king. Isn't this the way of natural men, always looking for that outward sign so they can believe? God has chosen to let his ways to remain a mystery, except for those that have come to understand the ways of the Spirit. God did not want his people to go under the law, but that is all they could understand. The law was written ordinances. It was just a bunch of do's and don'ts and a bunch of washing this and washing that. It's grievous. In fact, Paul told Peter, how dare you try to put the law back on the born again believers here, when you know good and well we couldn't, as Jews, even keep it. Yeah, just a bunch of rules and regulations. All right, now we're going to look at the mystery of Christ. Hebrews chapter 9. Just think about it. Born in basically a manger was a food bowl. It was a food trough for the animals. Do you think Herod's soldiers are going to be coming and looking in a barn with animals for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? See, what God does is in here. Everything to do about the New Testament and new birth and all of that, it's all an inside walk. It all has to do with the inside. None of this external stuff really amounts to anything. Now, God may tell you to go do natural things, but that's different. You have God's instruction and His ways to do it. But really, what is religion today? It's just institution with big fancy churches and big fancy programs that appear to do good, but God's not even in it. I won't say all, but probably most. Here's a few like us, kind of like in the stable. Nobody knows, nobody sees, but we're listening to God and we're following God and we're doing what God wants us to do. The only one I care about pleasing is not some king somewhere, but God. He can say, you did everything I told you to. Well done, a good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's all I care about hearing. And I'm sure that's the way you feel too. All right, Hebrews chapter 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded in the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for all the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost is signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and the carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead, otherwise it is no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without shedding of blood is no remission. If it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as a high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So this is a mystery to people. People don't understand it. What does secret mean? Mystery means to shut the mouth or a secret. God doesn't disclose it. It's secret. All right, go with me now to Colossians. This is 4:3. Paul is asking for prayers. He says, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. The mystery. See, when Jesus came on the scene, he began to reveal this mystery. He taught the kingdom. God's best kept secret. The kingdom of God. All right, turn over to Matthew 4. You know what? I read the temptation of Jesus. I'll just go ahead then. Holy Spirit knew why I put it here, so we'll do it. This is Matthew 4:1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. To them which sat in the region in shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, those that had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. This was all mysterious. It was all mysterious. They'd never seen anything like it in their lives. Nor have we, really. See, all these parables are about the harvest that Jesus talked about. When you go over to Mark 4, that's what he's talking about there. He's talking about the harvest. Let's go look at that. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. All right, here, chapter 4, starting with verse 1 there. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, and some fell on stony ground, which it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. Now, I've talked to you about this before, about as apostolic team, you know, you can't bring the evangelist in until you get the apostle team in there and get all the ground tilled. If it's just rocks and junk out there, people are not going to hear the word. It's just going to fall on deaf ears. But you go in there and clean out all the obstacles, well, then they're going to be ripe to hear the gospel. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they were about him, the 12, asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That's what a parable was. It was a mystery. It was a riddle. And only the spiritual figured the riddles out. That seeing that ye may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard, the word immediately receiveth it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lures of other things, enter and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man has ears, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. For with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath to him shall be given, and he that hath not from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is grown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the airway may lodge under the shadow of it. With many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Why was Jesus sent? For men, he was sent so no man would have to die and go to hell. That's why he came. That's why he bled and died. Because God wanted his man back. Satan stole it. Satan sabotaged. But everything God did was secretly, like a mystery. And men fell all over it. They didn't understand. They didn't receive Jesus' message. For the most part. All right. Jesus came to disclose the mystery for those that have ears to hear. The Great Commission is our mission. There is no other mission. This was the mission that Jesus was on, a heavenly mission to reconnect mankind back to the Father by his sacrifice. It was the only way back. Without that, we couldn't have gotten back. We could have done any kind of works and all kinds of things, just like they did under the law. But even then, they couldn't go to heaven to God. They had to go to Sheol, paradise. They were still cut off from God, right? Yeah. Till Jesus made the way. All right, let's go now, Matthew 13. The gospel is a mystery to people that do not discern spiritually. It's a mystery. The only way that you can understand it. But I don't understand anything I read. It's okay. It's spirit food. Your spirit will eventually understand. Spiritual. All right, Matthew 11. 13:11 says, He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. He wants to let us know everything. God doesn't hold back. The inability to receive is in us. And as we get The more we walk in the Spirit, the more we'll start receiving. I'll just put it that way. The more we learn to stay tuned into the Spirit and not be distracted by the things of this world, the more we're going to hear from the Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit's been telling us, pray much in the Spirit. Don't waste your time on things that are empty, unprofitable pursuits, like watching television. I'm telling you what. And I'm just talking secular programming and stuff. It's horrible. And that's why a lot of Christians are not spiritual. It's because they spend all their time doing all of that stuff, and they spend very little time praying in the Spirit and getting their minds renewed with the Word of God so that they can begin to hear from God for themselves. Okay. Luke 8:10. It's basically saying what I've read to you earlier, and he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Yeah. All right, go over to Romans 11 now. Paul saying here, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happening to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, which I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling are God without repentance. But as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So God holds all the mysteries. How do we learn this? Well, the next chapter. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One thing that Danny and I were talking about the other day that Satan has overrun the world with is entertainment. We're the most entertained society there's ever been. People always got to be a-going and a-doing stuff or they're not happy. But then they get sick or something happens and they want somebody to pray for them, so they get this off of them, but they don't want to take the time to renew their mind or to, you know, get in the Word for themselves and find out anything about God. I'm talking Christians. I'm not talking the world, them too. All right. Keep going here. Romans 16. It's all about the devil trying to take the minds of men, right? How many times have we heard that recently? This is a battle, the last day battle for the minds of men. Well, it is. It's the truth. All right, 25 there. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which is kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. You know, I'm sure they made fun of the prophets, thought it was a heretic, that come forth with a virgin shall be conceive a child. How's that possible? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When you know the truth, it really is a mystery to most people, Christians included. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Isn't that the way Jesus operated? He had the Spirit in operation, in power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. For we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which now of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see why now God did what he did? He had to keep it a secret, even his son's birth from the evil one. Right here, this says this to me. Which none of the princes of this world knew. Well, let me read 8:7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known what they were doing to the Savior of the world, they wouldn't have done it. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You can't know anything about God if you're not the Holy Ghost hasn't engaged in you. You can be born again and never go anywhere else and just live like a natural man and say, well, I got born again when I was back in elementary school or whatever the fact is. It's what you do with it. They get a deposit, but do they let that deposit grow in them? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It's like going on a treasure hunt, isn't it? It's a mystery. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. See, when you're spiritual, you can have understanding in all things. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We've got the one that is the mystery on the inside of us that will reveal it to us. All right, let's keep going here. Chapter 4 here, verse 1. Let a man so count of us as of the ministry or ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Think about the things that God's shown you that you had no clue about. He just disclosed some of his mysteries to you. All right, 13:2. 1 Corinthians 13:2. Talking about the love walk here. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. All right, 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. That's why he said you need to pray for interpretation. Lord, what did I just pray? Mysteries. All right, 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Is that Donald Trump? For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, We shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praying in the Spirit, doing all these things, it's labor. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us to him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in all in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, that ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So, you know, people don't know anything about this kind of thing, about what the body of Christ really is. It's a mystery. Okay, Ephesians 3. So all these Ephesians prayers are really important. All right, it says, for this cause I, Paul, verse 1, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. So Paul, the apostle that wrote most of the New Testament, these are the mystery. It's Christ. It's the body of Christ. It's the church. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, God's best kept secret. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. That's this mystery that we're getting a hold of. Little by little. Power within, not from without. There's no power in the church today, not the church as we know it. Every once in a while, we'd have a minister come into town that maybe might have some works working. But not what Paul's talking about. All right, Ephesians 5. 22. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might perfect it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you be in particular show love his wife even as himself, and the wife say that she reverence her husband. And then it goes on to talk about the children. This is divine order. This is really, you could say, home order. It's part of the church. There's a church order, ministry order, home order. Okay. All right, Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. Paul asking for prayer. As for me, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that wherein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Isn't it grievous to know that we have such a great salvation, and most people don't know anything about it? See, if you don't know it, how can it ever help you? Colossians 1, 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh mightily in me. We've seen many times the fact that Paul, because of the revelation, was given a messenger of Satan, you know, to buffet him. This revelation came from God to Paul and now to you. It is not the doctrines of men. Now that you're born again, God dwells in you and you have access to this wisdom, God's mysteries. Sometimes I think that, you know, my wish is we want to know your mysteries. Or would you tell us your secrets? He does reveal them to his prophets. But God will tell us his secrets, I believe, if you ask him, if he can trust you with his secrets. All right. Did I read Colossians 2 a while ago? Let me look. All right, Colossians 2. I can tell y'all are getting tired. All right, let's keep going. We're nearly done. Colossians 2, 2 and 3. that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's a good one. Colossians 4:3. Withal, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. A couple more scriptures, and I have a little bit of something the Lord gave me about this. All right, 1 Tim 3, verse 8 and 9. It says, likewise, the deacons must be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Okay, Revelation 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. God has been declaring this mystery to the prophets today also. The virgin will conceive and bear a son. Just imagine when all that know God access revelation this way. Then and only then will we be where we go on, we go all. Jesus told Peter this is how his church would be built. This is Matthew 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. See, that sounds like the church today. They're all over the place. I mean, they're all over the place. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He just saw a mystery. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. When we get this mystery, then we'll have those power, those keys to do what we need to do. It's not just something we say. It's something that's got the power backing it up, that revelation, that mystery. That's revelation from God. All right. Let's see where I was. Wait a minute. Lost my place. All right. God has hidden his treasure inside of us. I think this is the last scripture. Let me look. Two more. 2 Corinthians 4. But I determined this with myself. I'm sorry, this is 4, not 2. 2 Corinthians 4, 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have obtained mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This is the Lord speaking here. When the church does get in divine order through the fivefold ministry gifts in their proper order, the mystery can be revealed so we can reunite with our Heavenly Father. Jesus is the only way. This is such a great salvation that even angels long to investigate it. This is a great mystery, but only so to the world. No longer seek without, but from within. You have the Holy Spirit within you to lead you and guide you into all truth. He is the teacher of the church, so stay engaged with Him by praying in the Spirit. It's when you walk in the flesh that you will become disengaged. Men think they must put their hand to it. It does not need man's hand for it to be by, it has to be by divine design. For I'm the master builder and the head of the corner. God's people for hundreds and thousands of years have stumbled all over this mystery, but now to many in my body, this mystery is now revealed. This is what will get my church back on track and in divine order. It's time to stop seeking the things of this world to bring you wisdom and fulfillment. Inside of every believer dwells the Godhead, but all must be taught to tap into it. To the outside world, this will remain a mystery because this comes only by revelation of my Spirit. Inside of you is where you will go from glory to glory. What is accomplished in the Spirit will eventually manifest in the natural. This is the only source that you will ever need. Even the Christmas story reveals the mystery conceived in the Spirit and born in the flesh. Romans 8:26-28, the prayer that we pray, you know, that the Holy Spirit will help our infirmities when we don't know what to do. He'll help us. Build a habitation of the Spirit in your spirit. The Spirit knows all. He sees all and knows just what to do in every situation. Wait for Him to guide you. He will never guide you wrongly. His guidance is a no fail. Once you learn to trust His Holy Spirit, there will be no need to look anywhere else. People say they go to church to get answers. Well, you are my habitation. Within you lies all the answers. Look within, not without. This is what the mystery is all about.